Oh, goodness. That was some good stuff, wasn't it? Martha, Martha. Boy, that was good stuff. All right. This is got me stirred up. Can't even talk straight. All right. That's what worship ought to do to us, right? It all just mess us up in the Lord. Get us in the spiritual side of things, right? Let's see, where are we at? Oh, yeah. The coffee shop, we're going to be needing some folks to assist. So if that's something to talk about, a coffee shop after all that, isn't it? But we're going to need some some assistance there. Kathy Brown is the gal to get a hold of. So she is the one that leads that and runs that back there. So Kathy Brown's her name. If you're interested in helping in the coffee shop, Kathy Brown. Everybody say Kathy Brown. All right. You know what? Sometimes just to start serving that way, God will speak to you and use you. You just got to get started somewhere. You see what I mean? You got to get started. My neighbors are here. Oh, look at them. Oh, isn't that too cool? Kyle mows my grass. I'll tell you what. Hey there, Ed. Good to see you, man. Man, he's got their mom and dad with him. That is too cool. All right. Okay. Where was we at? Oh, yeah. Coffee shop. Now, I've been doing my Slubers activity. Have you been doing that? You haven't been doing that? You know what? It's Mother's Day. We need to say Happy Mother's Day, don't we? Every mother in here, stand up. Happy Mother's Day. All right. None of us would be here without our mamas, right? Make sure you tell your mama you love her today, right? For sure. All right. We got something in the foyer out there for the mother, so make sure you get that before you leave. Okay. Salubrious activity. You thought I was going to forget about it, didn't you? So what's that mean? That means health promoting activity, right? We need to engage in something that's going to promote our health. Keep physically active, right? That's huge. Because if we're going to fulfill God's plan and purpose, we have to stay active. And you all know I'm a runner. I didn't get 30 miles in, but I did my CrossFit plus my running this week. So now I started this new CrossFit exercising. And on Monday, I went in at 6 a.m. And I did, this rowing machine. I did like 50 sit-ups. And then I did, some deadlifts. All these different new kind of exercises, And then the whole part of the thing was to run a mile. So I ran a mile. And because I'm a runner, there was 20-year-olds in there. There was 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 50-year-olds. I beat everybody in there. Now I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to show you something. Because, see, I'm just trying to show you something. That when you will get something and be consistent at it, you can, it shows up in your life. And I didn't plan on beating them 20-year-olds, you know what I mean? I mean, I've been running longer than they are old. Yeah, I'm 53. I got no problem with that. What? But now, think about this. Wednesday, went back again, had the same, the whole idea is muscle confusion. You do something different every time you go. Well, went in, did it. They had a mile run again. I beat everybody again. because I have this endurance from running for 20 years. So I beat them all again. And so, you know, I'm kind of like the head rooster in the hen house here. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, the instructor's saying how good and how, you know, man, you're beating that. You know, so what, guess, now I'm not done yet. So Friday I go in. It's because of the running is why I won. Friday I go in, no running. Just all these exercises and different techniques and things you had to do. And as fast as you could, I got smoked. I mean, most of the women in there beat me. You see what I'm saying? What? I'm just showing you, you know, once I get that technique, they're going to have to look out. But no, the idea is you have to do this stuff right, you know, and do it as fast as you can. That's the whole idea. So you're not in the warehouse there working out. It's called like a warehouse. So you're not in there for an hour. You get in and get out in 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And you get a workout. So that's my Sluver's activity. But you know what? It's kind of cool when you do something and it shows up in your life. You know what I mean? I felt pretty good about it. You know, I don't go in there to beat everybody. I don't. I really don't. That was my neighbor right there. He knows I can beat him. I got something for you. We'll wrestle out in the yard and stuff. Oh, he's too much. He ain't got nothing. You know me. But now, let's get to what we're going to be talking about here. What have we been talking about? Can you put my... Okay. We've been talking about body, soul, and spirit. And this idea of redemption, right? And so, right in here... When you're born again, all right, when you are born again, if you are born again, right in the spirit, everything you have is in that spirit when you're born again. When you are born again, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, the Holy Spirit and your spirit have become one. Nothing can change that. Nothing. Right here. When you are born, if you're truly born again, nothing can change that. I'm not saying once saved, always saved. I'm saying you can't lose your salvation. But now listen to me. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says, if you're mature in the word and you reject Christ, you can reject it and walk away from it. But you can't lose your salvation. You have to make a mature decision to walk away. All right? Now, stay with me. So, when you're born again, it's in the spirit. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All right? That word creation means species of a spirit. All right? Now, you are not a product of your parents. You are a product of God when you become born again. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, you were not born of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the word of God. You are now a product of God. And so that's what we have to understand. We've got to understand that. You're not just a product of your parents. See, some people have this idea that they're just, you know, their parents, and they blame everything on their parents, and the way they are is because of, see, we can't do that. When you're born again, things got to change. And things can change. And they will, if you get the understanding. Now, so everything we have is in here. Ephesians 1:3 says we have all spiritual blessings. Everything. Got it. We have everything. Everything this book says is in right in here when you become born again. You just have to get it out of you. And you do that through your relationship with God and through God's word. Now, we don't need any more peace. We don't need any more joy. We don't need any more kindness. We don't need any more gentleness. We don't need any more love. It's all right in here. See, Satan works from the outside in. God works from the inside out. Now, say you, sin is not the problem. See, at redemption, sin was dealt with. Past, present, and future sin. You see that? At the cross. That's redemption. You have eternal redemption in your soul, in your spirit, right here, I mean, in the spirit. You have been eternally redeemed, it says in Hebrews chapter 10. For eternity, you're redeemed. Now your soul has to be redeemed, and your body is going to be redeemed. It's a process, okay? So now look, this is where the problem is in the soul realm. Mind, will, and emotions. And this is iniquity. Iniquity is not sin. I used to think it is. Iniquity is a pattern that keeps you in sin. You see that? It says in Exodus 34:7, your sins and iniquities have been passed on to you as far back as 3 and 4 generations. So iniquities are not sin. Iniquities are patterns that keep you in sin. So we have to understand it. So the problem's not sin, right? Are you getting that? That's why you can't... See, people will come to church, and then if they sin, they feel like they're not good enough to go to church. And that's condemnation. See, church is where... The body of Christ is where you need to be. And you need to get up and read your Bible. That's the idea. The enemy will take you not understanding sin, and he will condemn you and beat you over the head with it, to keep you from growing in a relationship and keep you from being effective. But if you understand, sin has already been dealt with. What I do is not keeping me from the will of God. It's not how you perform. It's not your performance. You've got to understand that. You've got to understand that it's not my performance is keeping me from the will of God. It's me growing in my understanding of who I am and what God created me to be, and dealing with these patterns of iniquity in my life. Are we making sense? 1 John 4:8 says, God is love, right? 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. In the truth. Okay? So we could say it like this. God does not rejoice in iniquity, but God rejoices in the truth. See that? Because God is love. God is rejoicing when you get the truth on who you are. You see that? God rejoices when you get the truth and you apply it to who you are. That's why Jesus said, I'm looking. John 4:24, he said, I'm looking for people who will worship me in spirit and in truth. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. The ones who are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. I'm laying groundwork. Are you getting this? This is huge. So, we got to get it up here, those patterns right there in iniquity. We get the truth in the spirit. We start driving the iniquity out of our life. And now we're becoming who God created us to be. You see that? And that's huge. That's your identity. See, the Word of God is a mirror. It's a mirror. You know, if you don't ever look in the mirror, you're going to forget what you look like. If you don't keep going to the Word, you're going to forget who you are, your identity. Right? And it's spiritual. It's spiritual identity. It's like who you are on the inside. It's reflecting who you are on the inside, the real you. When you look into this, it talks about in James chapter 1. This is a mirror of who. Can you feel it? No. Sometimes I can't feel if I got something on my face. I need somebody to tell me, right? Or I have to go in the mirror and look to see if I got something hanging or something on my, something on my face to wipe it off, right? Well, see, that's the way it is. So a lot of times you can't feel if you're okay in the spirit. You have to keep looking into the mirror to see who you are, right? Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I got to lay that groundwork. All right. So keep that up there. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. and we're going to get started. We're going to look at verse 14 through 17. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a work in our hearts. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here today. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Now, Father, we ask that you give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing. Let none of us remain the same, Lord, because we have received your word with meekness, the very word that's able to save our soul, and we will not be the same. We ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, okay. It's in this same chapter, just keep in this chapter of Mark 4, I want you to look at verse 11. Okay, verse 11, Mark 4:11. To you, who's you? That's you, right? To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are on the outside, all things come in parables. All right, now look. Now listen to me. I believe that the things of the kingdom are hidden so that the ungodly cannot take those principles and abuse them. You see that? For their benefit. So God has hidden them for you and I, those who are born again, to see. That's why Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom. That word see means to understand. So when you're born again, now you can understand the things of the kingdom. Now look at this. In verse 13. Now think about this. The kingdom of God is dependent on the word of God to grow. It's dependent on the word of God. Because he says the sower sows the word. Just as the harvest is dependent on the farmer to sow the seed, so is the kingdom of God dependent on the word of God to be sown in your heart. Because the kingdom of God is within you, right? And that's what we want. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is within us. And as we get that word, it starts to increase the kingdom in our lives. And that's why we have to understand this parable. Now look at this. Are you with me? Verse 13, this is what he says. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? Jesus is saying, don't you understand this parable? He says, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand the rest of them. That's why we have to understand this parable. The sower sows the word. Because understanding this parable helps open up other teachings of Jesus. Helps us to understand more. Now, think about this. Did you get that? If you don't understand this, the sower sows the word, then the rest of it you're going to have trouble with. That's why we got to understand it. Now look, verse 14, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. You see that? You better be continuously looking after your heart. A heart left unattended will lead to a destructive life. A heart left unattended will lead to a destructive life. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. In Jeremiah 17, that deceitful above all things. That's why you better be getting you some word in this heart. And you know what the heart is? The heart encompasses everything that's on that screen. It encompasses it all, the heart. That's why Jesus said you should love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's why we can't leave our hearts unattended and not having the Word of God being put in there. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind to give everyone according to their ways and according to the fruit of their doings. See that? Fruit. It's to produce fruit. The Word of God has to be planted in your heart. Because if you don't have the Word of God planted in your heart, then you're not going to produce God's fruit. You know what? You're going to produce natural fruit. If all you think about is CNN and Channel 7 and the economic crisis and everything that's going on around you, you know, everything going on in the natural, then you know what? You're just going to get natural fruit. And you know what that'll be? Worry and misery. Worry and misery. If you're worried all the time, worried is negative meditation. Joshua 1:8 says that we're to meditate in God's word day and night. Day and night. He said, don't let the word depart from your mouth. If you're going to find success and prosper, he says you're going to have to meditate in it day and night. Well, I can't go to work and meditate on the word all the time. Oh, yes, you can. Well, how can you do that? Well, how am I supposed to meditate on the word when I'm supposed to be doing my job? Well, you worry when you're on your job. You worry about your problems, and you worry about your bills and your finances and your relationships while you're on your job, right? That's negative meditation. Here's the idea. Get God's word. Begin to think on that. You see? And now it's being planted in you. It's being planted in you. Oh, did you get that? When it's in you, it's protecting you. And its power is released in your life. I read a story about these archaeologists, and they were going through these tombs in Egypt, and they got in these tombs that were over 3,000 years old, and they found bowls of seed in these tombs, in these Egyptian tombs, bowls of seed that was over 3,000 years old. They took that seed and they planted it. And then it began to grow. It began to grow and flourish and produce fruit. What do you think about that? 3,000 years. But you see, the potential in that seed could not be released until it was planted. Until it was planted. James 1:21 says, it's the implanted word that is able to save your soul. That's the soulish realm, remember? The Bible says, John 17, that the word of God is the truth. Sanctify them with your truth, for the word is truth. John 17, verse 15 through 17. See, I'm scattering seed right now. And the idea is, you ought to be writing some of these verses down and taking them home with you and getting them in you. Am I making sense? Now, the first soil that Jesus is talking about here is by the wayside. Now, go with me real quick to Matthew 13. And keep your place in Mark 4. See, you can go to church and listen and never get the word planted in you. You got to get it in you. And you got to work it. And you got to meditate on it and speak it. Some people come to church and they listen and they go away and they don't really get it planted in them. You got to get it in you. The Word of God doesn't do any good sitting on your coffee table, right? It only does good when it's planted in you. Then it will produce. Now, look at this. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. This is the same parable. It's just Matthew's word on it. Now, watch this. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So the first soil that Jesus is talking about here is by the wayside. And it's really understanding. Understanding. When you don't understand, see, that word has just gone by the wayside. You see that? It's on wayside soil. Are you guys with me? So think about this. Understanding is huge when it comes to receiving God's word. In Proverbs 4:7, it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding. You see this? In all you're getting, get understanding. Now, in Proverbs 2:10-11, it says this, that discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. Understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. And then it goes on to say, from the man who speaks evil against you. I don't care who you are, if you have you some understanding in you, no matter what people say against you, and come, no matter what they come against you with, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. When you get it in you, no matter what the people at work say, no matter what the people in church say, no matter what your neighbors say, no matter what anybody says about you, if you got you some understanding in you, you are going to make it and you're going to stand. Because God is leading you when you get some understanding. Right? Now, think about this. This is how it works. In Isaiah 59:19, it says, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The word standard means banner. Banner. Now, get a hold of this. In Psalms 60, verse 4, it says this. Psalm 60, verse 4, it says this. That God has given us a banner of truth that it may be displayed. The word banner means standard. So when you got something in the Spirit, you see, if you got something in there for the Spirit to work with, you've put some word in there, you got a banner of truth inside of you. You see that? You got a banner of truth inside of you. And when those lies come from the enemy, that baby's going to be all right. Just look up here. When you got something in your spirit, the truth in you, you see, and the enemy comes in with a lie, you're driving down and or you wake up in the morning and these lies. But if you've got something in you, it'll rise up and it will bring the truth against that lie. But if you haven't placed anything in there, that lie, you know what? It's going to come and you're going to believe it and you're going to get depressed or you're going to get your feelings hurt or something's going to hurt you by what somebody said. You see, because you didn't put it in your spirit, the truth. See, that's why we need the truth. Because the truth is the standard. See, when I got something in here, people talk about me all the time. But I got something in here, you see, and I got something in there that works, okay? And it can come up and I know who I am, right? When you know who you are and you know where you're going and you know how you're going to get there, you're going to be all right. Are you with me? Am I making sense? That's why you got to have the truth in you. And when you have it in you, it works for you. It delivers you from the evil way. Am I making sense? You see this? It has to be in here. You have to let it get in there. Understanding. That's why Paul said this. He said, I pray, in Colossians 1:9, he said, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you would have a walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. When you get understanding, it helps you to walk worthy of the Lord.
and it causes you to produce fruit in your life. So you need to be concerned about getting you some understanding. Am I making sense? Don't let it go by the wayside. Don't just come here and listen and go out, oh, that was good, that was good. And then don't receive nothing. You know what I'm saying? And really get it in you. It's time to get it in us, right? I'm just here to tell you. This is what's going to get you through. The days that we're living in, religion and tradition is empty. You got to get some word in you and know who you are. Now look at this. Okay, what's the next soil? All right, let's look at this. The next soil is verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Immediately they stumble. Now, that word stumble is the word offense. Immediately they get offended. Some of yours uses that word, offended. Now, think about this. So the second type of soil is what? Stony ground. Now, I see this all the time. People come here. Oh, that was good, Pastor Fred. That was a good word. You know, oh, yeah, yeah. In the next couple of weeks, you see them. No victory. You know, off in the mess again. Those patterns are taking over in their life. You hear what I'm saying? So what are those patterns of iniquity? What would they be? Addiction? You know, any kind of anger? You know, money problems? You know, abuse in your money? All these things. Everything that keeps you in a negative lifestyle resides in those iniquities. And that's why we got to get the truth on it. And it sets us free. Now, think about this. They come and they hear the word. They get it. They receive it with gladness. But they go off. And then what's it say? Stony ground, remember? It says they have no root. Where? Themselves. Who's that? Huh? You see? You know what people do? They come to church and they rely on the preacher and his revelation and what he's getting from God. What's he got today?
What's the preacher got today?
You know what I'm saying? I've seen it. But you know what? There's a part. You should come expecting something here. You should belong to a place where the pastor ought to be putting something on the table. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have something on the table up in here. But now listen to me. You don't want to depend on that. You need to take, and some of this word that I've been sharing today, write these verses down, get them in your heart, go home and write and look at them tonight, look at them tomorrow morning, and get them in you so they begin to take root. Because they have no root, when the persecution and the afflictions and the trials and the rejection all come for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. They get hurt. How many times have you seen people get hurt in church? People get hurt all the time. You know why? You know what that is right there? They love the way people treat them more than they love God's word and the truth. Because you see, it's how you respond to someone who's done you wrong is what God is trying to show you. But you see, most people, when you get hurt, you get offended, you love yourself more than you love God and his word. Because it has no root. See, the root is below the surface. The root system is below the surface.
Too many people are surface out here. Too many people want to see all this fruit. They come and they get saved and they get excited about the Lord and they don't see anything happen and they get discouraged. There's no root system. God will work on the inside of you first, down below the surface, before he'll ever begin to produce fruit and show you something of any significance out here. He will work on you inside first. Am I making sense? That's why it's so important to understand what we're talking about. Because you know what? If you don't get this root system, when a little bit of heat comes for the word's sake, somebody rejects you, people in your family are going to reject you. People at church are going to reject you. If you are really after what God has for you, all kinds of things are going to come against you for the word's sake. Am I making sense? Well, I don't want all this word if that stuff's going to happen. Well, then you know what? You can live a life of those old patterns and just keep repeating what your parents did and pass it on to your children, and they can continue on in that. But if you really want to be effective and really pass something on worth having to your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, then, folks, you're going to have to get the truth on the matter and let God do his work in us, and then now we're going to have an anointing that's going to be effective out here. That's the fruit out here. Oh, are we making sense? We're making a whole dollar today, aren't we? Now think about this. So they get offended because they have no root system. Now, in Jeremiah 17, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit and it will spread out its roots by the river." Okay? Spreads out its roots by the river and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. You see? It spreads out its roots. Spreads out its roots by the river. See, when your root system is planted, no matter be anxious in the year of drought, you're not going to be worried when times get tough because you got a root system. When you got a root system, nor will it be anxious, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. Jeremiah 17, 8, and 9. Because you're rooted, you're going to keep producing fruit. Did you get that? I remember reading about these trees in California, and they would go through these long periods of drought and these windstorms, and the roots on those trees would go deeper into the soil seeking out moisture, and they would continue to bear fruit. See, that's the way we're to be grounded and rooted in the love of God. You see, when we're grounded and rooted in the love of God, we're going to keep producing fruit. You see that? When we love God and his word more than we love how people treat us and how things happen in our life, folks, we're going to get through the tribulations, right? We're going to get through the persecutions and the rejections. Am I making sense? This is huge. We got to understand this sower sows the word. You got to let it get planted in you. The other day, not the other day, but a couple weeks ago, I was having my devotion, and I was in the word, and I was meditating in it, and I was reading it, and God, it was quiet. In this same chapter, Mark 4, verse 34, it says, "When they were alone, Jesus explained everything." See, Jesus will teach you things when you're alone. You have to get alone with God. You cannot just go to church. It takes more. You have to have some time with God. You have to. And so I was having some time with the Lord, and he was showing me some things. And I was enjoying it. But now watch this. He took me to 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 6. And it says this: "Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain." And then he took me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Now, are you with me? I was having my time. He was showing me. You know what he showed me? He showed me, he said, he spoke this in my heart. He said, the people that have hurt you and the people that have abandoned you and left, they weren't of me. They were not of me. Because I will never leave you nor forsake you. Did you get that? I'm telling you, folks. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you got that, you got something. You hear me? That right there will get you through. I don't care. All hell can break loose against your life. But when you got that in your heart and you got that in you, you know that God is working in you. Are you with me? And you know that he's showing you something. And he will continue to show you. But we have to be dependent on him and his word more than how people are treating us. You see, too many people get caught up in how people treat them. It says in 1 John 2:5, but whoever keeps my word, truly the love of God is being perfected in him. It's the one who's keeping it. You see that? That's where the love of God is being perfected, matured. You know what? We're out of time. But we're not out of word. So we're going to continue this next week. We got two more types of soil. Oh, thank you.